they drop that whole wheel.
Shawty got big bounce, drop low, baby, get down. Sit that ass with the big bounce, hey, big bounce. Shawty just get down, made all the hoes sit down. Then show 'em how the big bounce, hey.
I'm shaking his ass a little, I'm making it clap and jiggle. Don't know how to act, I'm throwing it back. He's spending that cash, I'm with him.
Big bounce, Shawty got big bounce, drop low, baby, get down. Sit that ass with the big bounce. Bouncing and shaking, she making it wiggle. Love when she poppin', start making it jiggle. Don't give a damn about how she be moving, as long as I'm the only one in the middle. Shawty got clappers like hands, arching her back and she get in a stance. Watch it go crazy, you show her them bands. Lil' mama show off and she doing the dance. Moving and twerking all up in the zone. Turn up in the club when she hear the song. Give her some space, leave the girl alone. She asking a friend, can she hold her phone? Lil' baby go too crazy. Big booty, oh so wavy. Fuck round, I have my babies. Too deep in, somebody come save me. She bounce to the left, she bounce to the right. She bounces so hard, she starting to fight. Bouncing that booty all over the place. I stop for a second and my out of sight. Regardless what anybody say about it, she shake up the party and she get the cash. Distracted by how she move that little body. She empty your pockets, then she hit the dash. Go, little mama, go, little mama. Drop it real low, little mama, low, little mama, low. Whoa, little mama, whoa, little mama. Bring it up slow, little mama, slow, little mama, slow. Say she ain't shaking that thing for the clout. She moving and shaking for dollar amounts. She blessing a nigga that bless her account. The bigger the check, the bigger the bounce. Big bounce. Shawty got big bounce. Drop low, baby, get down. Shit that ass with the big bounce. Hey, big bounce.
Yo, what's going on? It's the homie Mazzy tuned in to Mazzy Drinks and Chill. Got the homie Morgan in the building.
What's up, y'all? I'm back again.
Back, and that was Big Bounce by J. Rashad. That song is fire.
You gotta check out the album.
The album is called Consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Shit is dope. I like that. I'm going to definitely check the album out. Shout out to J. Rashad. You just put us on to some new music.
You know I'll be trying.
Yeah. What's going on? You back? I don't even remember what episode this is with you. Like,
this I think is, we've been, what, three? Four?
Let's see. Patriarchy, Ego.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you did one more.
I was here with Tiana.
Tiana. Oh, yeah. Yes. And you was part of...
The therapy episode.
The therapy said. Mental health episode. Yeah,
you back.
And you was part of the live event. Matter of fact, you was the second guest, if I'm not mistaken.
Had a blast. Hope you guys enjoyed me.
You had some fans in the building, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You came up there. Everybody's like, Morgan? I'm like, oh, really? I see you got fans in here.
Just a few.
And it was a lot of people who went and shut the up.
About?
Everything, just like they kept interrupting the show, like just talking.
Oh yeah, folks homies was feeling themselves.
Yeah, nah, but it was dope. I think a lot of people were just happy to be interactive with it, because you know a lot of people listen to the podcast and they were finally there to get their two cents in there.
Between that and the Casamigos, I think that's what it was.
Oh man, yeah, the show started at I think what we say 7 o'clock, and then we didn't start the show till 9:30 because yeah. Some of the homies came late, so everybody had been drinking for 2.5 hours.
So. Longest pregame ever.
But I'm glad everybody had a good time. Today we're talking about social media.
Yes.
How important is social media in the common life?
So with me newly being a full-time social media manager, mm-hmm. I've come to the realization that social media is essential. I think that people kind of look at you sideways now when you say you're not on social media, you know.
Facts.
Like in any capacity, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, OnlyFans, you know, people look at you kind of different, because not only do we receive, you know, like ads and we shop and we live our lives through social media, but like we get news through social media, you know. It's very essential. Like we didn't find out about a lot of chaos in other countries had it not been, you know, for social media, because millennials do not watch the news. We don't pay attention to the news because we know a good percentage of that shit is fake.
Yeah.
So we pick and choose and decipher information through social media, you know, because that's the only way that we know how to reciprocate it.
Yeah. I had one of my homeboys tell me that social media is making us dumb, but I would like to say there's just dumb people on social media.
I agree.
Because, I mean, I hate to blame... Like, because for him, he looks at it like back in the day, we would never, like, commit a crime and go on social media and talk about it. But at the same time, I'm like, dumb people just exist. And then they just bring their dumbness, I guess you want to say, to social media.
To the internet.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. I think that people do a lot of things for clout. Everybody knows that. You know, so when you commit a crime and then you go on Instagram, you go live with the guns and you go live with the drugs and the money, it's like you were already stupid prior to social media. The internet did not make you stupid. You know, were already dumb prior to getting on here. So the internet just amplified you for 2.5 seconds because people are here chasing clout left and right. We all know that.
Yeah, because there was dumb people before internet. I had my homeboy.
You shouldn't be dumb with the internet, though. Like, we all got a smartphone, so no one should be stupid. We all got smartphones. But, yes, there are 100% dumb people that just have platforms just like every last one of us do.
My homeboy didn't have a license, insurance, registration, none of that shit. But he'd be driving, smoking weed, windows down, no seatbelt, speeding. And to me, that's the same version of that idiot would be doing the same thing on social media, like, to me, because I'm like, bro, you don't have a license, you don't have none of that shit, but you're driving with no seatbelt, smoking weed, music blasting, like, you're literally asking for it. Like, so what's the difference between that and the person on Instagram who's flashing guns and money? Like,
exactly. I don't really see a difference. I just see the difference is the technology.
That's it. It's just you're from one platform to the other. But speaking of social media, on October 4th, we had that, what was it, like 6-7 hour shutdown?
And that I think the shutdown was essential. I think that even me being a social media manager, you know, I caught myself picking up my phone when I knew that, you know, Instagram and Facebook were both shut down. So I let all my clients know, like, hey, it ain't me. I promise, you know, the platforms, like, I don't know what the hell Zuckerberg done did now, but everything is completely shut down at this point. But I think it was a really good time for all of us to take some time to cleanse from our platforms.
Right.
But also be aware of how addicted, you know, we very much so are to these social media platforms. It's like, you know, that Instagram was down 15 minutes ago, so it's probably still down, but yet we just have this.
That was me.
Human nature of picking up our phone, you know, because I noticed that I woke up and I didn't really have any notifications, and that's very rare between any of my clients. I was like, I got like 5 clients right now. That's me not having any DMs. Nah, that's some bullshit. So
you have notifications on your, like, that show pop up on your phone?
Yeah, so I've got one client that's a little bit more demanding than my others, so I do have their social media platforms on my personal phone, but everyone else is like on my iPad or on my business phone. But normally, like, they just went viral not too long ago, so the DMs and the comments have been wild these past couple weeks. So I put their stuff on my personal phone so we can get everything to, like, calm down.
Yeah.
And I just noticed that I didn't have any comment engagement, anything like that. So I went in and I'm like trying to do stuff on Instagram and it's just like, cannot refresh feed. I'm like, what the fuck is that supposed to be? Like, are we shadow banned? Are we blocked? Like, what the hell is going on? And then it came out, I think I got a text or email from like somebody I'm subscribed to, no one important.
Yeah.
And they were just like, Instagram's down. I was like, what do you mean Instagram is down? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, this is how I get my news. This is how I get my daily affirmations. This is how I get my voice of reason for the day. And now I ain't getting shit.
Comedy, everything.
Like, yeah, everything.
And you're right. Like me, I don't go as far as having notifications pop up on my phone. Like, I would just literally have to go on Instagram to see if I had any likes or notifications or like DMs. But when it was down, like every 2 to 3 minutes, it just, out of habit, I would just like go to my phone, like, and then I'm like, yo, I just checked this shit like 10 minutes ago. Why the fuck do I keep going back to my phone? And it really hit me, like, yo, I'm really addicted to this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, but before that, I really didn't realize how addicted I was to it. And it's just the fact that, and you know how I know I'm addicted to, like, sometimes if I go to pick up my phone, it could be anything, check your Bank of America, anything. But if you forget what you picked up your phone for, you just automatically go to social media.
Yeah.
So, that shit really was a wake-up for me. And it also made me realize how many people would probably be, like, their business model, whatever, would be fucked up without social media.
There were a lot of people that were screwed. Like, if anyone runs a business and they typically run ads on Mondays, you got zero sales, zero engagement, zero conversions, which means you made no money on October 4th. And that's why I drill the importance to all of my clients to having an email list, to having a text message list,
a website,
to having a website. All that stuff is essential because you don't even own your website technically, but you don't own your Instagram platforms. And I feel like a lot of people forget that.
Yeah.
But you won't forget it when it's taken from you, just like it was taken from all of us on the 4th, where you were just like, shit, how am I supposed to make sales today?
Yeah.
And then that's when you want to tap into your email list. Like, no, you should have been tapped into your email list. You should have been tapped into your text message list, because now you ain't getting no sales. Like, my most demanding client, they made no money on the 4th. because no one was traveling from their Instagram to their website. So
right.
understanding the importance, like I also sent out text messages and emails for them, so they made money that day. But if they didn't have a text message or email list, like they would have got zero bread
right.
on that whole damn Monday.
Yeah, even my podcast, I'm like, yo, if this shit went down Instagram, like, because which is my main source of like connecting with the listeners,
right?
I'm like, yo, what the fuck would I do? Like, how do I get with my listeners?
Yeah,
and that shit really fucked me up because I'm like, yo, I really got to do a website or get an email blast or something like that, like what you just mentioned.
Yes, it makes you rethink your business model, because if your business model is centered around social media, you're not doing business right.
Yeah, like you literally have all your eggs in one basket, basically.
All of them.
That's
especially when you don't own these platforms. Like the way that Zuckerberg has been under fire these past couple weeks, like the way that Trump was acting during the election, like all, like TikTok was about to be gone, Instagram was about to be gone, Facebook, like everything is about to be taken, was about to be taken from all of us, you know. And our only form of communication was what, Twitter that day? Like even WhatsApp was acting weird. So it's like your only form of communication with other people was TikTok or WhatsApp or Twitter. So it's like you got to make sure that you're structuring your business so that you are not centered around one area of revenue.
Right.
And because if you're waiting out,
that's Sci-Fi in the background making drinks and smoking hookahs. If y'all hear all that.
So if you centered around one platform for your revenue, you unfortunately are not doing business right. If you have questions, please DM me and I will answer those questions. But
where do they DM you at? Pardon the liquor too, if you hear me slurring and shit. We've been talking and drinking for a while now.
So if you hit me up at true.matriarch, I do free consultations. So if anyone needs assistance with social media, if you want me to just help you with a revamp, just give, I don't charge for those things. You know, people out here charge for consultations. I personally don't do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not telling you any knowledge that you can't find for free on YouTube. You know, I'm very much so just looking at your page, analyzing your page and just making recommendations. So if you guys have any questions about that, definitely hit me up. We can do a 15, 20, 30 minute Zoom call, whatever you guys want to do. And I can let you know, like, you are missing out on bread here, 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 and here.
Yeah.
You know, like, even with you, Mez, like, and I'm going to say this right now because we're already talking.
And you always get on me about these things.
You need to get sponsorships. You need to get ad space. You need to start taking advantage of what all of these other platforms are doing. Like, and I don't even think I ever told you this. Like, one of my favorite podcasts, and I'm low-key ashamed to say this, aside from yours, is Call Her Daddy. And she has ad space.
Yeah.
She gets paid a lot of money for the ads that she sponsors. Now, granted, the ads that she does are very true to her brand and very true to her business. So, I mean, with you in here drinking, smoking hookah, whatever it is you do, like, you need to take advantage of ad space.
Nah, that's a fact. It's definitely coming on the way. And we about to go to, what you call it, too, video.
Should have been there.
Video. I know. But sometimes you get so comfortable and shit and things are working, so you like...
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's like, if you start doing video, you can repurpose. Because, you know, have you ever heard of YouTube Shorts?
Mm-mm.
So, I learned about YouTube Shorts on Clubhouse. YouTube Shorts is a beta platform within YouTube where it's essentially just like TikTok and YouTube and like Instagram Reels, where it's just short form content. So you just scroll the same way you would scroll through TikTok.
I'll be seeing that too.
Like, you would see it, but it's called YouTube Shorts.
Okay.
So what you need to do is you need to break all your episodes up into 1 minute segments and do like the most popular, like 1 minute to reel people in on your YouTube channel to then get them to listen to your podcast.
Because remember when I was doing the clips of the podcast on Instagram, those would hit on YouTube, matter of fact.
Yes. Like
you put me up. That was you who told me about the little cartoon thing. Don't say the name because we don't get paid for that. But the dude who does the little cartoon things. And I was like.
Definitely. And then doing those same. And even if you decide to make a TikTok, I will put those exact same videos on TikTok. You guys don't have to get complicated. Like, I'm literally a full-time content creator. You don't have to get complicated with it. My videos that have gone viral for my clients have literally been 6 to 10 second videos. That's crazy. A loop that have just completely gone viral. Like one of my most recent videos for them, I think is like 25, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's got 500,000 views, you know, and
that's
what pushed them over the 10K mark, which I know is essential for Instagram.
10K
for
followers,
a lot of people.
You're saying.
Yeah. So don't complicate it. Keep it short, sweet, simple, but also always stay on brand.
Yeah. Speaking of staying on brand, you got on me when I made them stickers. You're like, why aren't these in your damn colors?
They weren't your brand colors.
Right.
You gave me the sticker, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. I was like, what you mean? Like, I made stickers. I'm branding. I'm putting this shit all over the city. He was
like, it needs to be on brand. It needs to be consistent with your colors.
Yeah.
Like, it just, everything just needs to be consistent, because what happens is, like, when you see certain colors, you identify with fast food. So when you see blue and yellow, what do you think? Best Buy. You know, when you see green and yellow, you think Subway. You know, when you see the arches, what do you think? McDonald's.
Yeah.
Everything just has to stay consistent and it has to stay on brand because that's where people start to resonate with you.
Yeah.
And people think about you when you don't even, when you're not even doing anything.
You know, I explained it to you, but for the listeners, like, when I put my original logo, it says Mez at the top because, you know, it's a play on Netflix and chill. So it was Mez Drinks and Chill.
Right.
So I had, shout out to Kev Ransom. He's one of the best dudes that do any type of artwork, flyers, anything you need. Shout out to Kev Ransom. He does everything you could think of. He made my logo. So it was like Mez and then it says Drinks and Chill. Mm-hmm. People would be like, yo, I love your podcast, Drinks and Chill. And I'm like, it's called Mez Drinks and Chill. But I would hear it so much that I'm like, oh, so some of the people are being confused by, but it's enough. Like I've heard it too much. So I'm like, oh, it's a lot of people who think it's called Drinks and Chill.
Right.
So then that's why when I made my stickers, I made sure it literally just wrote out Mez Drinks and Chill podcast. But the colors were red, white, and blue as opposed to red and black. And he was like, no, stick to red and black because that's your colors, red and black.
Exactly.
A little bit of white, yeah.
And every time I see you, you got on red and black. I don't ever all see you have no blue on. So it's like, where did the hell did this blue come from? Like, whose colors are these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that made sense afterwards. I'm like, damn, I guess. But I had already made a whole bunch of stickers. So I'm like, these are still going up all around the city, all the gas stations. I put them everywhere. Anytime I pull over anywhere, I just stick them on shit. Like, fuck it.
So now your next round of stickers.
Oh, no, for sure.
Need everything to be your colors. And they have to be consistent. So it's like moving forward. If anyone is confused about your brand messaging or your logo, it's your own fault. It's not anyone else's fault. You know? So it's like, I don't know what the previous logo looked like, but if people only see Drinks and Chill, then you need to make it consistent where they see the full name. I'm sorry, of it.
The regular, the one for the podcast, like the one that you always see.
Well, I'm also a creator, so like when I look at that, that looks like Mez Drinks and Chill. But
yeah, but see, you can see that, but there's so many people who will be like, Drinks and Chill.
How did you miss the whole M?
I don't know.
That's in the middle of the logo.
And it literally
people
says Mez Drinks and Chill.
I think, and I also, you wonder what it is? I think it's because those are technically three different fonts within your logo. So
yeah, but that's how the Netflix is too. Like Netflix has the N, the like for the Netflix, and then Drinks and Chill. So it's like it's on brand to like the play on what I was looking for.
Right.
But I mean, and then I would literally, but then I guess you're right because some people you'll still tell them like, hey, it's called Mez Drinks and Chill. You see him later, like, yo, they'll shout it out, like, shout out to my homeboy's podcast, Drinks and Chill. And I'm like, oh, you might just be slow. Like, it, I don't think it's my branding.
Probably. But I would say if your logo's got three fonts in it, the human eye really only recognizes two in certain areas.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say try to keep your logos and keep even your fonts on your website. Try to keep it very consistent on all pages. Like don't bounce between six different fonts. Fonts on flyers, try to keep it to a minimum. Make sure your colors on your flyer are on brand. The aesthetic is on brand. So just try and find that sweet spot and that consistency where you're just like, I can reuse these fonts over and over and over again.
Right.
Yeah.
Algorithms. They keep changing on us, right?
Yes.
But I think they have been on this last one for a while now. And which do you prefer, Instagram or Facebook?
So I prefer Facebook for certain things. So I don't really post on my feed. I'm in a lot of Facebook groups, and I get a lot of really good conversations. I've gotten a lot of clients from Facebook, and I'm not even active on Facebook.
Yeah.
So if you are on Facebook, I would suggest joining Facebook groups that are fitting around your business, your business model. Like I'm in a photography group, I'm in a marketing group, I'm in a Black-owned business group. Like get some versatile Facebook groups to be a part of and market yourself in those groups because it'll be much easier for you to get clients that way than you just posting on your feed. You know, you're limited on your Facebook feed to the 1500 or however many people you're friends with.
Right.
Whereas if you're in those Facebook groups, you have access to 10, 20, 30, 40, 100,000 people.
Yeah.
So for you specifically, as we can talk about your brand, I would say, you know, hop into some of these Facebook groups, drop your logo, say, check out my most latest episode, and then just leave it at that. You know, people will do what they do with that information.
You know what I hate with some of those groups, though, because I did that. Like, I had a few people tell me you would join these. Because, you know, if you got, like, let's just say 1,000 followers on Instagram, I mean, on Facebook, out of those 1,000, you might only have, like, 30 people who listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
So they was like, get in them groups. But then when you get in them groups, they're so strict on, like, yeah, you got a podcast, but you can't just jump in here and advertise your shit. Like,
yeah. So you got to read the rules. So, like, a lot of these groups, I'm a part of, I think, 38 was the last time I checked. And within those groups, each group has different rules. So it's like they have technically promo days. So like one group I'm part of, it's a marketing group. Actually, not even that group. There's like a things to do in Charlotte group. So I have events once a month. I will drop my flyer within the rules, because if you keep messing up, they will kick you out of the group. But so one group is like, oh, you can promo your stuff for free on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll just set a reminder on my phone to make sure I post Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But yes, definitely read the rules in these groups. Do not just pop into somebody else's Facebook community talking shit. And sometimes they charge for advertising. I do not suggest paying for that, because there's no guarantee that it's going to work. I paid for advertising. I think one time it was $5. It wasn't that big of a deal.
In the group. Yeah.
It didn't work. So don't do it. You know, like if someone's charging you to advertise within their group, like don't do it. It's not worth it. But yes, Facebook groups is a big thing for me. The next platform I would say, I do like Instagram. Instagram is just really finicky when it comes to the algorithm, because if you're not creating engaging, eye-catching content, then it's not going to convert. But once you find that sweet spot in your content, keep hammering at that content and keep creating content centered around that. Don't try and stray away from it. So for example, one of my clients there, we literally like once a week I'll post pictures of guests coming and hanging out. I'll post pictures of the food, I'll post pictures of the venue, and then I'll post pictures of cocktails. The cocktail pictures blow up every single time. The cocktail pictures are the reason why we went viral. So what am I going to do? Every other day I'm posting a video and pictures of cocktails, because that is what people want to see. So I'm going to keep doing it.
I like Instagram as far as like what helps me go like reach a higher audience is like when I do the advertisement and you go to like different countries and stuff like that. But that helps with the paid advertisement and with algorithms. Like a lot of people would get, I'll post stuff like we spoke about it briefly in one of the episodes, and he was like, you're giving them too much. I don't know if you remember that episode, but because I was telling you how I antagonize, because most of my followers are women, so I'll say things that are purposely antagonizing, because if you pander to women, for the most part women can see through that, you know what I mean? So but if you antagonize them, they'll engage more. Matter of fact, the whistleblower for the shit that went down with October 4th, she was saying like, you know, Facebook almost targets like your things that you'll engage in is basically like foul shit for the most part, like for lack of better terms. But it's like, so if you say something like, women are so dumb, this and this and that, like I'll say that with an LOL because of a stupid video that you see. Women be like, hold up, that's not all women. They'll engage in that way more than if I said Grand Rising women, like that type of stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and ways to engage people is the polls. Like I always put up polls. And that'll get, the more people are engaging in your fucking whatever you put up, that's
your content.
Yeah
Polls always work. The asking like questions is always a really, really good thing. So like for, you know, if you want to just to see what people are going to talk about, I would say ask them, what do you guys want to hear about? What topic did we not touch on? What topic in the new year do you guys want to see more of?
Right.
Your followers will tell you exactly what they want to see. You know, like you don't ever have to. And that's one thing that I told Tiana when Tiana went viral on TikTok, is I told her, I was just like, or she already knew this, like your followers, you'll post a video, you can post a controversial video, right?
Yeah.
But the beauty of TikTok is you can literally take a comment and you'll respond to that comment, which will spike the engagement, exactly, which will spike that conversation. So it's like your followers will tell you exactly what they want you to see. With my client that went viral with the cocktail videos, okay, the cocktail pictures are converting, so I'm going to keep posting what they want to see.
Right.
And as that you post more, you engage more, they like, they follow, they share.
Yeah.
The higher it makes your content on the value scale in regards to the algorithm.
Right.
So if your followers, I'm going to challenge everybody on here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your Instagram right now or whenever you listen to this episode and find your most engaging post. Find out what it was about that post that was most engaging and keep doing that for, let's say, 60 days.
Yeah.
Post every other day with that same content and watch what happens to your platform. It's like your followers will tell you exactly what they want to see.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even in a space of like, oh, I don't want to post what they want. Like if you want to engage on social media, you want higher engagement, you're going to post what they want to see.
Right.
You know, so it's like same thing with Tiana. You know, Tiana got to the point where she was doing reviews of products. People wanted to see reviews of products. So what did she do? She kept doing reviews of products.
Right.
That, I think he's like 9 now, but I think in, 2 years ago, there was a 7-year-old kid that made $23 million from YouTube.
Oh, the Asian kid?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that. And my son watches his videos.
Everybody, every kid watches his video because he does tour reviews. So, like, you will find out these kids are going to go on YouTube and they're going to watch this little kid because they're like, let me see if this toy is worth it. Let me see if this game is worth it. Let me see if it's worth it. I'm asking my parents for this for Christmas. You know, let me see if it's worth me being a good kid for the next 30 days.
Yeah.
And he made $22 million just from partnerships.
Yeah.
And then he made $1 million from advertising. So companies reaching out to him saying, hey, can we do a quick little 10-second ad on your platform? His parents were like, sure. He made $1 million from advertising and $22 million from partnerships. So it's like, just taking product that is being sent to him that his parents bought him for free. Yeah. And this little 7-year-old is a multimillionaire. He's got more money in the bank account than probably all of us at this point.
For sure.
But it's like he did what his followers wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The thing is, I think I spoke, one of my homegirls, she was like, why are you always coming at women? Do you hate women? I'm like, are you serious? Like, but sometimes it makes you want to stop because it's like, yo, but it's like, man, people going to think whatever they're going to think. But she was like, it seemed like you're always coming at us or you always got a joke about us. I'm like, because y'all engage in that. If I said men are dumb, or if I say anything to antagonize men, niggas ain't going to. Who cares? Men ain't gonna go back and forth and engage with you for the most part on Instagram.
What's that dude's name? Justin
LaBoy.
LaBoy.
Yeah.
He is a perfect example of an antagonizer.
Yeah.
You know, he is toxic as an individual. Every now and then, and I engage with all of his posts every single time, every now and then he'll tap in and he'll do a shot at men every now and then, but a major percentage of his content is targeting towards women. And he's verified with like 1.something million followers on Instagram. Right. He's getting 5,000-6,000 comments on his posts. Yeah. So it's like, it's not even about him hating women. It's about him. He knows what he's doing. He's pandering. Yeah. So he's
pandering, but in like a negative way.
Right.
Yeah. He's pandering to their need of wanting to engage. But like, the thing is, like, even when he does say something about men, it's about something that women can relate to about men. So they're going to share it to their homegirls. So technically, you still
look at this nigga.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is what my ex did, or this is. So
listen, the shares and the saves. And this is another thing I'm gonna tap into real quick. The shares and the saves are important. The highest thing in regards to the algorithm. So in the beginning, it was likes. Likes are no longer important. Comments. Likes and comments were important. Yeah. Views were important. No, that shit is irrelevant now. It practically is. You're better off not even engaging in somebody's post. But when it comes down to the saves and the shares, is the most important thing. And I guarantee you, when Justin's posting his content, I'd be sending shit to at least like 4 or 5 people. So hell, I know me as one person. Amplify that times 1.4 million people.
Right. Because sometimes you put up a post and it'll get like 90 shares and you're like, what the fuck? Like,
that is the content that you need to keep creating.
Yeah.
Like, if you post something on Instagram and it's gotten more shares than views or more shares than likes. Than
likes, yeah. Sometimes that's, but see, that'd be confusing because it's like, so, but then I guess some more people will watch something before they actually engage in it. Yeah.
I think right now, I think we're in a weird space because it's like, I've literally shared saved content and realized that I didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very much so guilty of that where I'm just like, fuck, I totally, because I'll go back to like my post that you've liked and I'm like, where the fuck is a post at? I ain't fucking like it. I forgot to like it because I was so busy sending it and saving it and commenting that. And that's the reason why liking is no longer important because people realize like if you're deep into a post or you're in a comment or you trying to talk shit or send it to somebody, you don't forgot to fucking like the damn post.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and sometimes people will like a post, but due to their status or relationship or whatever you want to call it, they can't like it because they gotta remain anonymous in a sense, like about the post.
Yep.
But they'll share it to their homies or their homegirls or their homeboys, like, this is funny, but I can't like it.
Yep.
Like, it could be a chick in a bathing suit, and if you're in a relationship, she might be bad to you. It could be making this anybody, and you're like, well, I can't put my fingerprints on this shit, so I just gotta fall back.
Can't.
You know what I'm saying? But
listen,
that's how
everybody need to engage with Meg's content because it's A1.
But that was an example. But let's just say it's the homegirl who, let's just say if you're, because the thing is, Instagram be blowing you up too, because it'll be like Mez Black Label and 700 other people like this. You're like, why the fuck is my name up there? Like, but
that's how it works. Especially if like it'll do that, because if you're a mutual follower. Facts. So you gotta be careful if you don't wanna be seen.
Yeah.
Liking somebody's shit.
Umbrella Minds and 37 people like this.
You're exactly. Like, okay. That's exactly how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, but as an example, because I said Mez Black Label, but that Oregon say True Matriarch.
I engage with Justin's content. I guess I'm toxic. I don't know.
Nah, that's how it be. But I also heard something where they say that likes has almost the same effect as far as like the dopamine levels as like anything else, as far as that gives you that like drugs or anything you're addicted to. So it's also an addiction. As far as like why people are addicted to social media is because you get something out of it. Like you post a picture and you're like, oh shit, like you get these dopamine releases, I guess, that you're like, oh shit, like it's almost like really like drugs.
I think we've all been in that space where we've been guilty of, you know, refreshing our feed to see if more people are liking our content. Yeah. At the end of the day, the crazy thing about it, and this is one thing that I just had to realize, is people are still watching you. You know, like I've had with this new entrepreneurial space that I'm in, you know, I've had perfect strangers come up to me saying, I've been watching you on social media for such a long time and I'm so proud of you. I'm like, who the fuck are you? You know, and that's literally what it meant. And they introduced me. I'm like, oh, we follow each other on Instagram. You know, like it becomes okay at that point, because I'm just like, you telling me you've been watching me?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of weird. But then we get deeper into the conversation. I understand that not everybody's going to engage with your content, and that's okay. You know, and I've learned to be okay with that, but also understanding that that is just how social media is. You know, we're in a wave of likes feed people's ego. Likes will feed your pride. It'll make you feel, but you ain't making no money from this. So it's like, you're not making any money from likes. So don't be so fixated on the likes. Be fixated on the conversion. Be fixated on the content. Be fixated on the engagement. So it's like, I've been spending more time with tapping into and having those intimate conversations, whether in the comments or in DMs. Like, if you can get someone to come off of Instagram to go to your website, you did something right.
Yeah.
So be fixated on that and not be fixated on someone liking your shit, because you're not making any money from someone liking your post.
Right. Because even like with my, it's a business page. So like you'll see a post, it'll say it was like in the view of like 2,000 people, but then it only have like 200 likes, and you're like, damn, so 2,000 people, it reached, that's what it says. It says it reached like
your impressions,
1,800 people, and then you only got 200 likes. It's like, how the fuck is that possible?
Right.
But like you said, some people just ain't gonna fuck with it because they don't want to show you the love.
Yep.
It could be people who just forget
whether they choose to acknowledge it.
That's why your stories, you might have like seven, like I'll look at my stories, like 700 likes, and then you see your post and it'll have like 170 likes, and you're like, how the fuck is that possible? Like, all these people are watching my shit but not fucking with it, but that's just how it be.
That's how it is, and that's okay, you know. And that's the people that are watching it because what they're also doing, and then they're not engaging with it, they're still sharing it, and they're not even realizing, like, you still helping me out. You're actually helping me out even more by sending it and sharing it than you are actually liking it. So I'll take that before I'll take you know, liking my posts.
And it still get out there. Like, there's so many shit, like, if you might see Coca-Cola commercials all the time and not engage with it or like buy it, which would be engaging, like you wouldn't buy Coca-Cola. But if you go to a restaurant and then it's RC or Coca-Cola, you're going to go to the Coca-Cola. Like, it's still doing something to you. Like, you're still in that subconscious. Like,
especially if someone's like, for example, you know, I'm transitioning into this wave where I'm like, I really like cars. So I'm transitioning into this space where I'm shooting more car content.
I'll be seeing that.
And Aston Martin has been forced to go through a rebrand because they have to. You know, like, yes, they have very expensive cars, very beautiful vehicles, but they realize, like, that generation isn't purchasing a fucking Aston Martin. You know, our generation is a new wave of consumers.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why. So I don't know if you guys noticed, like, Mercedes came out with a baby Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Range Rover came out with a baby Range.
Yeah.
So it's like everyone is coming out with vehicles that are like affordable, but still aesthetically pleasing. So Aston Martin is slowly transitioning into rebranding because they're no longer targeting old white men. And they realize that, oh, white men, y'all's target market is actually dying. So you need to transition to a space where you're catering to different crowds of people. So if they came out with a new campaign like a couple months ago, and the commercial legitimately gave me chills. Like, I've not watched a car commercial in a very long time. That has made my hair.
For Aston Martin?
Yes, for Aston Martin. It was fire. I'm going to send it to you at the end of this.
I've never seen an Aston Martin commercial, period.
Right. It was more of like a campaign. It wasn't really a commercial, but it legitimately gave me chills. Like, I had not seen a car commercial where I was just like, damn, I want to buy a fucking Aston Martin.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And they're doing the exact same thing. Exactly. There's some beautiful, beautiful vehicles. So it's like when you see these companies and how they're targeting their campaigns, they're focusing their attention on social media. Yeah. They're focusing their attention to creating content that's eye-catching to us, because we know I might not be able to purchase an Aston right now, but like, I'm definitely going to keep it in mind in the next 10 years, you know, when I can get to that point where I can afford it. So when you see any type of campaigns from, because yes, Aston Martin does not do commercials, they're campaigns. But when you see any transitions in these companies, you realize like they are slowly going through a rebrand. I'm no longer targeting old white men.
Yeah, they're dying out. And they're not who's popping no more in the sense of as, like the major consumers. Oh, speaking of that, like I also realized, I know media like, social media outrage is great for, like, for when I'm all over the place, but like when Gucci did the fucking noose around the neck or that type of shit, they're not, there's no way they can be that blind to people's triggers. They use that, you know, to get a buzz around some shit because negativity sells way faster than positivity.
Yeah, they chose to tap into the bad press because a lot of companies, I'm a firm believer that there is such thing as bad press, but
think about how many people went to Gucci website to see.
Yeah, the traffic went through the roof, but also the backlash also went through the roof. So it's like with you tapping into a space where you're doing something. So there was like a Dove commercial that came out where it was like a black girl, and I think that she like washed her face and then she turned white. That shit was absolutely mind blowing to me, and how no one, because you make it seem like the black girl's dirty and now that she washed her face, she's clean. Like, fuck out of here. You know exactly what you were doing. But it's like, you got to understand, bad press is going to fuck with you, whether it be in the short term or long term. I believe that's why I'm a firm believer that there is such thing as bad press, because you're going to get phone calls, emails, your stock is going to drop. Like, there is some long-term effects to you doing some inappropriate shit like Gucci, you know?
There's a point of no return in a sense. Like, but for the most part, I think Gucci's still rocking. Like, people still in there buying it all up. Like,
who's buying it, Mess?
Everybody.
Black folks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's who they targeted with that new shit and the, what's the shit called? The blackface.
Yep. Yeah, they had like I can't remember what, it might have been Gucci. They had a line of keychains that were like monkeys with big lips. Yeah. Was that Gucci?
Nah, H&M did some shit like that too. Where
Prada did that. That's what it was. It was Prada. It wasn't Gucci.
But H&M did some shit. H&M, yeah, they did.
All
this
these
shit
clothing companies do it because they know they that we gonna buy it,
and we're the ones who get offended and outrages the most.
Well, it's because it's targeting us, so it makes sense as to why we're getting offended. But why the fuck are you also spending money with these companies? That's my question. And even then, like, I follow this Instagram page called Diet Prada, and they're very liberal, you know, and they're really big on exposing companies for doing inappropriate shit. And I think that they even came, either them or somebody else came out with an article about Balenciaga don't hire no black people to be on the creative team. So it's like, but yet every time the only people I see wearing Balenciagas are black people. So it's like, how do you guys not really tap into these companies and see what it is that we're doing? Because you don't actually give a shit, you know. You're more so fixated on, oh, I want somebody to see me with my plain white t-shirt with this basic ass font that says Balenciaga on it, not even understanding that they don't actually like black people, but they will take your black money
for sure. Because we spend that money easily.
We are the top consumers across the world. You know, they're always going to do things to trigger us, to target us, because they know, these niggas going to be mad right now, but they still going to buy this shit in like 2 weeks.
Hell yeah.
They should never speak about us in that light. Should never even be able to like part their lips to even say that. Yeah. But it's the truth.
But I also think we get mad at shit, but we don't stand behind it as far as like, we only be mad for a little bit, and then we
we've
back
got
to
the
it.
Memory of a fucking goldfish. Yeah. So it's like we will be upset about something on Monday. By Friday, I mean, it wasn't even that big of a deal. Like, yes, it was a big deal. It really was a big deal. You know, they whole lives called you a nigga, and you ain't even and you ain't even say shit about it. You know, but it's like,
but let the average white guy say.
Yeah, but let the average white person say, you ready to throw? You ready to go to jail?
Right. But see, also with the LGBT community and yeah, but people get mad like, yo, how come they get so many rights? How come they can ban shit? Because they stick together. They have a cause. They
because
have,
it's
like,
also the LGBTQAI plus movement was initially started by a black person, but it is controlled by the white man. So this is the reason why that's the reason why they get all the rights, is because white people are still heavily involved into that community. So if it were just black people that were pushing the movement, it wouldn't be nearly as many rights.
Not for sure. But they all right, so think about when all that Stop Asian Hate came out, and they got all type of bills and everything. Them motherfuckers put their money behind shit. They vote. They hold, like, they hold, like, power. And they stick behind
numbers.
Shit. And numbers. But we have numbers. We have everything that every other group has. But we just don't stick to the shit. Like, we are divided like a motherfucker, like,
because we have the memory of a goldfish. If no one knows on here, the memory of a goldfish is 3 seconds. So something will literally happen right now, and then I just forgot. Like, it was 3 seconds, exactly. And then I just forgot.
Yeah.
So it's like, we as human beings, specifically as black people, it's like we just have a very, very short attention span. But I think it's because we've been in a space where we've been defeated for a very long time. We've been denied. We've been oppressed for such a long period of time, where we're just like, you know what? I just want to have a nice life. I want to live a lavish lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it becomes a norm. And it becomes a norm. You know, it becomes a norm of us being oppressed. But it's like, you've got to stand. You got to have some type of morals and some type of dignity and integrity about yourself where you will and will not stand for certain fucking things. Some company making face wash where a black woman will turn white is inappropriate. It will never be appropriate.
Super.
Because they're literally calling you dirty. They're literally calling you filthy to your face, you know? So it's like understanding that is not fucking okay. These white companies that are making these hair care products and selling it, saying, oh, this is for 4BABC hair, marking it to, there's like apparently like some fucking shampoo that's for like 4C hair. And they're selling it at $40 a fucking bottle. But it's like, it's the same shit that is in Tresemme, or the same shit that is in products typically for white people's hair. So it's like, you got to
brand it different.
You just branded it differently.
And that they do that on purpose because it is targeting the black dollar.
Yes, because they know that we are the biggest consumers. So it's like, it's the same thing when you go to every other, like Tyson's another great example. Tyson Beauty Supply here in Charlotte, they're all owned by Asians. And you wonder why they're all owned by Asians? Because this is what Asians do. Asians they'll all come to America and they'll all put their money together. And whoever is the highest, either the highest person with the most amount of money at this point, or is the elder, they will have them come in. You get the first beauty supply store, and we're all going to come into your beauty supply store. We're going to work for minimum wage. And then when we get your store self-sustaining, we'll hire you some more staff. And then it's my turn. And then we'll get my store up and running. We'll hire some staff, and then we're going to move on to the next thing. But the biggest fucking issue with that, and why I have to argue with people when they say that, is Asians are more likely to be approved for business loans and bank loans than we are. So that's the reason why that system works for them so fucking well, because they come here with no fucking credit because they're not fucking from here. And they're able to get approved for X, Y, and Z because they put together this massive ass down payment, because everybody's putting their life savings into making sure this damn...
They got numbers at the end of the day.
They're power in numbers, but they still have the system on their side. We don't have the system on our side. So what is the solution for us to get... do we create our own fucking banks? That's a whole fucking separate line of shit that we ain't even had that damn conversation about what it goes into having a black-owned bank. You know, the amount of capital and the interest and the collateral, like, it's so much that goes into owning a fucking bank. So what's the fucking solution?
Oh, shit. But I do think we can stick together, stack up our bread. Like, it's not only Asians, too. A lot of people that come from other countries, they do that. Like, they all get together, live 10, 15 deep in a crib, stack up their bread, and then, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways to build generational wealth and just wealth even right there for like on the spot.
Right.
But we just don't do it. Like I know plenty of homies who as soon as they turn 18, I'm out the house.
Yeah.
But I know like in my culture, motherfuckers stay, or the average kid from my culture will stay in their house until they about 25, 26, 27.
Not black Americans.
That's what I'm saying. But that's, think about it. If you, that's almost a 10-year difference. And when you're 18, 19, you know nothing but mistake after mistake after mistake. But if you were making all these mistakes without a safety net, that's fucking difficult. Like yeah. You're going to acquire, and you know, they target you at them ages too. The system targets you as far as like credit cards, all type of shit, loans, student loans, all type of debt.
Yeah, I was getting letters for my first like college card at like 17.
That's what I'm saying. So imagine if you don't have a parent or somebody who's going to be like, hold up, stay in the house for another 7-8 years, finish college, pay it out your own pocket so you don't have to get student loans.
Right.
That way, you know what I mean, you're not playing behind the eight ball when you get out there in the real world.
Absolutely.
So
I saw a post literally today where it was like the generational curse within black people is parents kicking kids out of the house at 18 with no plan.
That's dangerous. That is fucking dangerous.
Yep.
At 18, I was probably the dumbest and most vulnerable because at 18, like I might have been smarter than I was at 14, but I didn't have the capacity to fuck up more.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like I was out driving myself. I was out in the real world trying to make a way for myself, but I had a safety net too.
Right.
But think about being 18, 19, 20 without a safety net. That shit is dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, parents, stop kicking your fucking kids out of 18, 19, 20 years. And kids, stop leaving your house at that age. Like,
yeah.
And if you're going to stay there, you got to also be helping your parents out and doing shit too. Like,
definitely make sure you understand, like, the dynamics of where your children are at and what they can and cannot do, you know, because that's a whole separate understanding of, like,
yeah.
Okay, my child's a creative. I'm not going to force him to go to college. You know, like,
bingo.
You know, like, understand, like, I was a creative at a very young age, but I was labeled as being talkative when I was in school. Like, that was one thing on all of my progress reports. It's like, Morgan's too talkative. She's easily distracted. No, I just didn't give a fuck about what you were talking about because I knew that this shit didn't actually matter in the real world. And it's like, it directly transitioned to my adult life. Like, when one of my friends asked me a couple weeks ago, she was like, well, if you had the opportunity to do it over again, would you go to college? Fuck no.
Me
either. I would have never went to college. I would have never put myself in six figures in debt for a piece of paper that legitimately has nothing to do with me running my own business. I am self-employed, 100% self-employed. Yeah. I make money off of my own efforts showing up for my clients every single day. I don't show up, I don't get paid. That's it.
Mm.
And that has nothing to do. I didn't learn. That has nothing to do with my bachelor's, or I have a fucking MBA too.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. Does it make me more attractive to my clients? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But ain't nobody checking. I can literally lie and say I got a whole fucking quick, MBA fast. And nobody would even know.
I had a homegirl who would do that. She'd lie on her resumes and get right into jobs with people who had degrees. And she probably had just a high school education.
I'm not encouraging that, but no one checks it at the end of the day. So it's just like...
To me, I was on the flip side. Like, I was... My older sister would be the one applying herself. She'll study all night and get B's and A's. I wouldn't apply myself at all and get B's and C's.
Yeah.
And I was the one who would... My teachers would be like, yo, if he applied himself, he would be... One of our top students.
They said the same shit about me.
Yeah, and I'd just be like, this shit is stupid. Like, at a young age, I would tell them, I was like, I hate school. Like, why is it determined on, you know what I mean? Like, on what they think of me. Like, even in college, I tried to talk him out of me going to college. He was like, no.
That's why I hate standardized testing.
Me too.
You know? No individual making $40,000 a year is going to tell me where the fuck I'm going in my future. Like,
you keep bringing up the goldfish thing. I seen a meme that had, like, a goldfish, a bear, and like it had like seven different animals, but the standardized testing was how to fly. And it had like a bird, and it was like only a bird was flying. It's like, well, I mean, depending on that test, of course, they all look like failures because a goldfish ain't going to fly. A fucking bear ain't flying. But it's like, so instead of being a goldfish, and what's the opposite? It's the elephant that never forgets.
Yeah.
That's what we need to be, fucking elephants.
Definitely.
But. Yeah, like social media back then, we went on a whole tangent.
We did. Thank y'all for sticking with us.
Yeah, for sure. But I think we definitely touched on a lot of dope points. But
definitely,
social media is definitely important. It could be.
It is dangerous, though.
Yeah, there's like two different spectrums of it. It could be really dope for you, and it could be really bad for you too, if you know, live and die by it. Like,
so one thing that I've had a couple of conversations. So I had a few of my girlfriends that got, you know, BBLs this past year, and. Tapping into understanding that
Brazilian butt lift.
Yes.
That was Sapphire asking.
What's they were also,
but that's a good question because there's probably a lot of people like, what the fuck is a BBL?
Yeah, so BBL is a Brazilian butt lift. It's very affordable. Apparently, you can get it on credit now. You can get titties on credit. You can get whatever you want on credit nowadays.
They'll take that finance from
you. Yeah.
They will take that interest in a fucking heartbeat. But it's, and this is another thing that I feel about baby hair. Don't let me forget about to bring that up as well. when it comes down to like the looks and the aesthetic of what women are supposed to aesthetically look like. Mm. And every woman is supposed to have the big, round, perky breasts and the small waist and the really nice hip to waist ratio. Yeah. And like
good weave
and the good weave and the lashes and the nails and then the eye color. Makeup. Like we getting into the whole, it's a lot. It's giving anti-black. It's given a, it's given a lot of like, you want me to look like something I'm not. So what's going to happen? And one of my girlfriends said this the other day, she was like, everybody's going to start looking the fucking same. Like everybody
already.
Is like these girls that are getting their bodies done. And it's like, listen, I'm all about, y'all know I'm the true matriarch. Like I'm all about women making their own choices, but understand that please make sure that you are doing these decisions because you, for you and not because you want to look like somebody else, not because you want to make yourself more attractive, because what's happening is I think some women are making these changes to their bodies because they want to be more attractive to men and they want to be more attractive to themselves. They want to look like somebody else. But now, y'all know how men are. Now we back, I want all my women to be natural. I want all this. Yeah. I'm like, listen, don't change your body to make yourself more attractive to a man. You know, change your body because you want to feel more comfortable in your skin.
Yeah.
I'm 100% supportive of that. You know, like I have a scar on my stomach when I from an accident when I had when I was a kid. And I hated it. You know, growing up my entire life, I literally hated it. I never wore, you know, bikinis until I got to college. I got a tattoo over it. I'm cool with it. I made the decision to cover it up with a tattoo, you know, like, and that was a decision that I personally made. And now I sit back and I look at it, I'm like, why did I do that? You know, I did that because like, I didn't want people questioning me about my scar or because I did it because I just wanted my stomach to look more attractive, you know? So it's like, I made the decision because I personally wanted to and not because someone else coerced me into doing it or I didn't want to look like the next person, so.
But you could live with that decision better when it was based on how you felt as opposed to what somebody else felt.
Because like, y'all got to understand, like these BBLs also require work. Like y'all not about to be out here getting a BBL and then still eating like shit. Yeah. That's not how it's going
to
happen.
But that happens to a lot of them. Like they get the work done and then they just be like, oh, I'm straight
you
now.
You can't do that. Like I literally had a friend of mine. She got lipo when she was very young and she didn't gain all that damn weight back. And now you done dropped $5,000 on lipo and 4 or 5 years later, you didn't get all the weight back. Like you didn't, you have to, it's a literally upkeep. Like there's a lot
and
of work
dangerous.
That goes into it. It's extremely dangerous. And no one ever wants to talk about the recovery process that goes into these things. Like, yeah, you can have a snatched body in a couple weeks, but ain't nobody telling you that you ain't gonna be able to sit on the toilet for a couple weeks. You know, like ain't nobody telling you like, no, we're not talking about these things. Yeah, that too. And it's just like, or the psychological piece that goes into really morphing your body into looking like a completely different fucking individual.
Even my Explore page, like when I go there, every chick looks the same. Like every chick has the same body, the same everything.
Everybody's
the same
looking the damn
wrestling
same.
Suit, the same. Like
not the wrestling suit.
But it's like everything looks the same about him. It's a little bit of a difference in the face, but that just.
That's it. Please be
but
original.
Everything else. It's like a cookie cutter image.
Yeah. What I will say about the pandemic, though, is like a lot of women took the time, you know, just to lay off on the products, the skin. Like we got back on the skincare. We stopped wearing the makeup. Like people allow their skin to heal.
Yeah.
We allowed our lashes to grow. You know, we allowed our hair to grow. And I was like, I loved that entire stage during the pandemic where we weren't about enhancements and we weren't about changing ourselves to fit societal norms. You know, we were all very comfortable in our skin during the pandemic, and I want to continue that same energy. You know, I want people to be happy and healthy with the way that they currently feel, you know. And I understand that some people are going back to the office, so I know you got to put the white face on. I get that, you know. I understand that. But don't forget to ever tap back into that person that you were during 2020 going into 2021, where like you were doing the all natural thing, you know, and your pores were closing and you know, your hair was growing and shit. So just don't ever forget about that. Like, I get that some people's lives are about to change again because I know a lot of people are going back to the office first of the year. I feel bad for y'all. But
we don't want to make it seem like we're just shitting on women because there was a lot of guys like Kevin Hart, was a lot of those celebrities who you start to see their real age when they start, their beards start coming in with the white hairs.
Yeah,
the gray
you start
hairs,
to see all
like,
the salt and pepper.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait a minute. You're not as young as you look on TV when you have life or death on the line. Like you worry about a pandemic, You're not thinking about going to get your fucking face dyed or nothing.
No. I know a lot of people that are listening to this right now are just like, I love that time frame during the year where I didn't have to put on fucking makeup and I had to get my lashes done. Like, it was freeing, you know, it was healthy. It was a good time period, but it's like, y'all ladies know, listen, I'm all about you making your decisions because you personally want to make them. So if you're going to make the decision to do X, Y, and Z, make sure you're doing it because you actively want to and not because someone's trying to make you. And that's including a job as well. You know, if a job is telling you your natural hair is not professional, fuck that job.
Facts. And speaking of jobs, the pandemic also showed who really fucking matters as far as working.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's done a complete 180 because, like, now we're about to tap into a whole separate conversation. You know, the frontline workers, these nurses in New York and all these major states were praised. The
delivery men.
Everyone was very appreciated. And now all of them had, I don't know if you saw, all of them been fired in New York because they're not getting vaccinated.
I got
so that's
two
a whole
cousins
separate
up there. One
issue
of my cousins
where it's like, how did we literally go from, like, what, 12, 13 months ago, I was a hero and now I'm being fired?
Yeah. I got a cousin up in New York in the Bronx, Malik. We were just having a conversation in our group chat. He was like, yo, it's crazy because, you know, some people don't want to get vaccinated. And they're like,
it's your choice.
Through the whole pandemic, I was important. I can risk my life for it. But now all of a sudden, I can't do that.
It is your choice.
It should be your choice. Like, if anybody wants to roll a dice on their health, let them do that.
Frontline workers been rolling the dice for almost two years.
Exactly. Now you want to make it mandatory? Like, bro, stop it.
Stop the cap. It's not even about it's not even about the vaccine anymore. It's not about COVID anymore. It's about population control.
That's a fact. It got to be something else. It's like, why do you care about how? Like, I don't know. We'll tap into a whole different conversation with that. But anything else you want
to
tap in on?
I actually want to go back to the algorithm real quick. Uh-huh. Oh, actually, hold on. Let's go to the baby hair thing real quick. So, one thing I personally do not do, I'm not the baby hair queen. You know, I've tried it, been there, done that. You know, I did it through high school, going into college a little bit. It's just not really my thing. I want to make sure that you ladies are doing it because you are enhancing your hairstyles. You're making yourself feel good. But it's like there is some like anti-black Eurocentric bullshit that goes into you slicking down your edges to make yourself look more appealing, to make yourself look younger. It's giving anti-black as well. So I just want to make sure everybody listen to this because I know it's a whole bunch of black folks. Make sure whatever you are doing with your face, body, whatever it is, that it is not making you against being black. And I think that a lot of people don't really truly understand that some of their day-to-day routine, some of your techniques, your tactics to getting ready in the morning, it is going against what it means to be a black person. You know, putting on a lighter foundation or what have you, is like, it's you're going against what it means to be a black person.
But like, I think everybody's getting into that middle ground, like, even like so since we're talking about women, I think black women are getting to that middle ground to where it's like you have some things that are like white, and then white women are also getting to some shit that's black. Like, it's almost like everybody's meeting in the middle.
It's a weird space.
Because they're taking the best things out of each race and putting it in one person.
You trying to build a bitch that doesn't exist. Like, white folks want the lips. The black body. They want the hips. They want the curves. But you don't want my problems. So you don't get the opportunity to have my features and not take my troubles as well. You know, that's we're not going to do that. And it's not going to work for you. You're going to look like shit in 10 years when all that stuff starts to settle and all that Botox, and you look crazy as hell in a few years. But this is the reason why, like, I just want to make sure, and I'm going to keep hammering at this, like, you are making decisions because you personally want to and not because you're trying to look like somebody else.
Yeah.
Don't do that shit. Like, they're giving away lip fillers for damn near free nowadays. Yeah. Like, BBLs are so damn affordable, enhancements affordable, everything is becoming affordable, or everything is going to be on credit. You know, you have the opportunity to purchase whatever the hell you want to, any enhancements to your body.
Easy.
With an interest rate of 28%. The fuck? Like, don't do that shit to yourself, you know? Like, especially if it's going to make you turn into a person that you're not.
Yeah. What were you going to say about algorithms?
Oh, with the algorithm, this is a whole separate conversation. We're going to get off. Are we done with BBL? So I want to make sure.
That's it, yeah.
when it comes to the algorithm, so the algorithm changed when that whole, you know, social media model, Instagram model thing was a craze. And they realized that these and I'm using air quotes, these Instagram models were making money off of likes. Mm-hmm. So they changed the algorithm so that likes no longer get you paid. You know, if you are not actively engaging with your followers, you ain't getting shit.
Right.
And I think that that opened up the perspective for a lot of business owners and a lot of influencers to take the time to talk to their followers. And they shouldn't have had to change the algorithm for this to happen, because like at the end of the day, if someone's clicking on your link, they're clicking on your affiliate marketing link, if they're using your promo code, if that you should be engaging with them in the first damn place. But I think that the change really opened up the perspective for people to take the time to be like, tell me what you like about this product. What don't you like about this product? Like actually having those human interactions. So yeah. Make sure you all are engaging with all your comments. You are responding to all your DMs. Maybe not the creeps.
Leave them. Some DMs, you got to leave them in there.
No, leave the ones that make you feel uncomfortable in there. But like if someone's engaging, liking, make sure you're like chit-chatting with them. And because that's what pushes you up in the algorithm. You know, that engagement, like Instagram tracks everything. Y'all might think that Instagram's not tracking your DMs, but...
Oh, they track everything that you're doing.
Every single thing. That's where, you know, like that targeted marketing comes from in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like you can be on your browser searching for something and then you go to Instagram and next thing you see an ad about it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, how the fuck do they know? Because they're tracking everything that you do.
Everything. I think even just by talking about it, I was talking to my homeboy on the phone about the Denali, the GMC Denali. Soon as I get on Instagram, that's the first ad that popped up. I screenshot and sent it to him. Like, bro, we just talking about that shit
big
now.
Brother,
all of a sudden,
Big Brother is listening.
Always listening, always. Watching everything.
That's why I love. You ever seen the movie Eagle Eye with Shia LaBeouf? It's a phenomenal, phenomenal fucking movie. It is a great example of Big Brother is always watching.
Whatever happened to that dude?
Bro, he lost his damn mind. That's what happened to him.
Big Brother was watching.
That's crazy.
Big Brother. Big Brother was still watching his ass. He lost his damn mind. Transformers really fucked him up.
I haven't heard his name in a minute.
Some people definitely can't handle the fame.
Yeah. But that's another episode. Where can they find you at again?
I am on Instagram at true.matriarch. Lurking on Twitter a little bit. Definitely on TikTok. Y'all hit me up. If you guys ever have any social media questions, definitely ask me. Like I said before, I don't charge for consultations, so... If you guys just have questions about platforms, there's also another really good guy. His name is Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I. I think Woodard is his last name. He is an incredible person. I'm not being paid for this. He is an incredible person to follow on Instagram because he challenges your perspective, your thought process. He is a little controversial, but that's because you got to be a little controversial on social media. He be popping his shit. So I respect it. He does engage. He does have a couple like courses and stuff that he does as well. But definitely give him a follow on Instagram. He's all about content creation. He's all about converting on Instagram, converting followers to customers. He's really, really big on that. So definitely check him out.
That's what's up. And y'all know where to find me, Mez Black Label or Mez Drinks and Chill. And we out of here. This next song is Peace by Gorilla Phil.
Praying for the world, all I want is peace. I just got a Benz, no it's not a lease. Riding through the hood, gotta keep the peace. I don't want it all, I just want a peace. Praying for the world, all I want is peace. I just got a Benz, no it's not a lease. Riding through the hood, gotta keep the peace. Shout out to the lovers, shout out to the haters. Shout out to my brothers that's out here chasing paper. Shout out to my sisters that's finished with their major, that live within their means, that's saving up for later. Shorty, you can buy a crib, then we could be neighbors. I could cut your grass, all I ask is for one favor. Yo, lasagna like my mama's, could you bring some over later? I pick up the swishes, you could pick the flavor. You know I got that loud, I'm the nigga indicator. I love being around my people, bought a crib up in Decatur. And my people love me, I swear I should run for mayor. But I'd rather cop some trucks, throw them all in a container. Ship them to my cousins just to see them do it major.
Started just a youngin', empty stomach and a pager. Now I'm living lovely, feel my tummy tipped to waiter. If shit ever gets ugly, I just pull another candy. I don't want it all, I just want a piece. Praying for the world, all I want is peace. I just got a Benz, no it's not a lease. Riding through the hood, gotta keep the peace. I don't want it all, I just want a piece. Praying for the world, all I want is peace. I just got a Benz, no it's not a lease. Riding through the hood, gotta keep the peace.
Look, I just got a Benz, no it's not a lease. Wake up on my Lucci in that 7 days a week. A nigga out here on his grind, that's obvious to see. Money over bitches, that's so obvious to me. Roll my weed, count my cheese. Roll my weed in that 600 Benz, playing 400 degrees. Fuck my enemies, fuck my enemies. Told them I don't want it all, nigga, I just want a piece. I just want a piece, I just wanted peace. Now I got to kill you all, black Versace's on my feet. Chopper in my hand as I contemplate this beef. Staple niggas to the curb, get adopted by the street. Product I release, make the profit do increase. Use a motherfucking clown if you think you fooling me. That ain't real money, gorilla feel dummy. Neighborhood net bustle, cut through static real fuzzy.
I don't want it all, I just want a piece. Praying for the world, all I want is peace. I just got a Benz, no it's not a lease. Riding through the hood, gotta keep the peace. I don't want it all, I just want a piece. Praying for the world, all I want is peace. I just got a Benz, no it's not a lease.